Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we discover what real joy looks like in the exciting book of Philippians. Let's go ahead and hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, each and every one of you, to today's podcast, today's episode, conversation, whatever you want to call it, just a really gathering around the Word of God and letting the Word of God speak to us. I just love that idea of the Word of God. You know, Jesus is the living Word, and the Bible is the written Word. So putting those together, Scott, it's really Jesus speaking to us, isn't
it? Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
So Philippians chapter 1 is where we are, and we've been talking about the love that the Apostle Paul had for the Philippian believers, sincere love, the memories he shared, the experiences that they had in common, the fellowship in the gospel. But then his prayer for them, I'm praying that you have that love for God and for others, and that in that love, you're going to have a clearer sense of the decisions you're making and discerning and approving and living out those things that are excellent and having that sincere testimony before the Lord. So all of that. And now we're in verse 11 where the Bible says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. So help me with that, Scott, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God.
Righteousness is such a big concept. And so many times our default is, am I living righteously? How are my righteous works doing? And we get that a little bit for salvation, but understand anything that's not Christ working through us, Christ transforming us, all our righteousness is as filthy rags. It's not that fruit of righteousness that only Christ can produce in our hearts. And that's as we're focused upon Him, as we're yielded to Him, as He's living out His life, as He's living out His life through us.
And so would it be safe to say then that the fruit of righteousness, the benefits, the blessings of righteousness, are the blessings of a righteousness that isn't even ours?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I think of Romans when Paul said, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth, which would tie back to here, the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ.
That's it. So the benefits, the spiritual benefits, the blessings that we have in our spiritual journey are all because of what Christ did right.
Yes.
Not because of what we do right.
Yes.
And so we always want to pin something to, I did right, I get my reward. You know, and that's not it. Christ did right, and I get His reward.
If we're not careful, it can be Christianity. You can become a self-focused, a self-absorbed. I need to do better. I need to do more rightly. But the more we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's already done, I think about imputation, which I get is for the doctrine of salvation, where on the cross my sins were imputed to Him. Every wrong thought I had, every wrong word I said, every wrong deed I did, imputed to Him. At salvation, His righteousness imputed to me. Every right thought He had, every right word He said, every right deed He did, I'm robed in that righteousness.
And the benefits that come because of it. So being filled with the fruits of righteousness. It's not that God has parsimoniously doled out the blessings. No, we're filled with the fruits of. So what is a fruit of righteousness? Well, think about something as simple as, well, I get to go to God's throne room whenever I want and talk to Him.
Amen.
Well, that's not a fruit of my righteousness. That's a benefit of Christ's righteousness. You know, what He did for me at the cross. You know, he didn't just die for me. He died as me.
Amen. Amen.
What?
Amen.
What? And I get to live. He is living his life through me, the fruit of righteousness.
And when we get comfortable, when we have that calm assurance of who Christ has made us to be, that security that Christ has given to us, that's when our life starts to transform. That's when that dynamic change starts to happen. It's
an understanding of identity. Who am I?
Yes, it is.
When you really understand who you are, you behave differently.
Yes.
And too often, I think in modern Christianity, we've focused on behave so you can be who you need to be. And that's totally opposite. No, 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 no. You are in Christ already who you need to be. Recognize that and your behavior will change.
And if you've grown up in a production-based, a works-oriented home, which most, if not many of us at least have, a lot of times that plays over into our Christianity. Well, I have to work for this. I have to work for this, which the grace economy, we work from this. We don't work for salvation or for the acceptance or for our position in Christ. We work from it. Boy, we're freed up to serve God in a greater way than we ever could trying to earn it because he's already paid for it.
So stand fast in that liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. But understand that liberty understood is going to be liberty that frees us to serve.
Yes, yes.
Frees us to do the things that Jesus would do and wants to do in my very life, in my very body. So chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, what a great theological treasure trove.
It sure is. It sure is. And understand Christ, who he is, what he's done for us, the grace of God, the gospel. If that doesn't change your life, you don't understand it correctly.
You don't get it.
For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, and that's what's teaching us. That, the grace, our position in Christ, that when we get that, that's what's teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world.
That's it. I mean, and that's and verses 1 through 11, some would say, well, you know, this is just Paul introducing the book. Now let's get into the meat. Get into the meat. I mean, that's like a filet mignon
yes,
as the
is.
Appetizer.
Yes, it is.
So
yes, it is.
Let's pivot because now we enter the Apostle Paul, remember, writing from prison to people whom he loves, who are very concerned for him.
Yes.
They've heard what's going on, that they have some human trepidation about, are we going to lose him? He's being lied about. This is not fair. All of those things. So Paul really wants them to have a proper understanding, a proper perspective of what he's going through. Because so much of what trials are, so much of what negative situations are in our life is a matter of our perspective.
Yes.
So let's look at it, and we're not going to be able to get the entire perspective in today, but look at verse 12. But I would ye should understand, brethren. I really want you to get this perspective, is what he's saying. I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest. And then he talks about the ways by which it did. But let's just talk about that one verse for now. The things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel.
The things that happened, the things that happened. And of course, we've heard that phrase, our happiness is tied to our happenings. Our joy is tied to our God. Our happiness can rise and fall with the happenings that we go through, but true joy, 19 times throughout this book, he pens joy, rejoice, rejoicing, and he's in prison. He didn't change one thing about his life, and he was content because he understood that he wasn't just writing to those that were at Philippi, he's writing to those that are in Christ. And I love the fact that those happenings, he said, the things which have happened unto me have fallen out, So many of us, and I know I do, want to live a planned out life. And Paul's saying, there's a whole lot of things that I didn't plan out. They fell out. They fell out when not just citing their view of what he's going through now, 10 years later, incarcerated Roman prison, whether it was house arrest or his final arrest. I was thinking the other day, I don't think I would do well in prison. In fact, I know I would not do well. I don't care if it's just house arrest. I still would not do well. And Paul said, the things that have happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel.
Yeah. Yeah. Think about it. So Paul said, I get this. Yeah. Paul already knew this. He was fine. He knew what God was doing. He had that perspective. We're going to talk about that perspective for the next couple of episodes. But I want you to have that perspective, because so often in life, trials affect more poignantly the people that are on the sidelines than the people that are actually going through the trial. So, you know, maybe it's your mom right now that has cancer. Maybe it's your grandpa right now that is just really facing it. Maybe it's your brother that's being lied about. And sometimes if we're not careful, we're the ones that have question marks about God. God, how could you do this? What's going on? They're fine in many cases because God's giving them that grace and they have that perspective. So Paul is saying, listen, I don't want you to impugn God for the fact that I'm in jail. This is a God thing.
Yes.
Yeah, this is how God's working.
Yes.
He's doing this. So I want you to understand what I already understand.
Yeah, and the fact that it does knock some out of the saddle when they see someone else struggle, but take that home, those that struggle themselves, sometimes it knocks them out of the saddle. Not understanding that it's given unto us on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Verse 19 of this chapter. Not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. And so many times a new believer, they'll get saved, that joy, that forgiveness, that load lifted, but then they hit their first trial.
Mm-hmm.
Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. One of the things that Paul drives at is these sufferings, these hurts, some of these pains are a normal part of the Christian life.
It's so good. And it's tough for us, especially Americans, because we love to feel as if we're in control. We want to be in control. And what the Apostle Paul is saying is things fall out. Things happen. Things that you never would have scripted, things that you never would have chosen. But please understand that all of that is within the larger context of Romans 8:28.
Yes.
That God is working all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. These people, the ones Christ has saved, he's got a purpose, and the purpose is he wants to make us more like Christ. And he knows the things in my life. I don't know them. But he knows the things in my life that are going to help me become more like Christ and are going to help me be more effective for Christ. So there are things that are happening. There are things that are falling out. But understand that God is the great mover and shaker, and all of this is working together for good.
And so much of this is directly playing out towards Paul's heart anyway, that passion to reach Rome. That passion to get the gospel to Rome, he wouldn't have gotten there except for that incarceration, except for that. They're basically giving him a free trip on that boat that's shipwrecked on the way to Rome, and it was because of these things that fell out, these things that happened, but it was fulfilling the heart that he had and the will of God for his life. God was working it out for good. For the furtherance of the gospel.
And God's working it out for good in your life today. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, just take that promise to heart that God is working it out for your good and the good of others, because God's will is not mutually exclusive. What is easier in my life doesn't always further the gospel. So take heart in the fact that your present question mark, your present situation might be the very thing that God is using to advance the gospel to the next mile marker in your circle of influence, to make your testimony that much more effective, to put you next to a person that you never would have seen, maybe in a hospital room, you know, maybe at an accident site, maybe at a what you feel is a dead-end job. God has used it to put you next to people who need the gospel to further the cause of Jesus Christ. Get that perspective. That's the perspective that the Apostle Paul is sharing in verse 12. We're looking forward to, this is just the beginning, Scott, of this section. We're looking forward to the whole section. God bless you, my friends. Thank you again for joining us.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.